Welcome back to the Campbell Conversations. We're continuing the conversation about whether or not to hold a constitutional convention. It's on the ballot this November. I'm joined by Hank DeLay and John Mannion. They have been debating this on the portion of the program that aired, but we're following up with a discussion that takes some of these things a bit further. And John, I wanted to go back to this concern about and the hope on the part of the proponents and concern on the part of those that don't want to see a convention of exactly how this convention would change the political process itself, okay, the governmental process in New York. Are there particular things that you would be concerned about as a citizen that might come out of this as a change in the political process? Because part of the argument that you articulated before was a version of this argument of, look, you know, the process has become polluted by special interests, and we are going to just then reinforce that in a constitutional way if we open this up. So what about the political process are you worried about changing?
Well, I guess I would give an example like either greater gun rights or gun protections. Okay. So what I'm worried about is
but that's a policy. I'm talking about is there a change in the way that government works? Because, again, some of the advocates have said, look, we could get a unicameral legislature or, you know, we could and Hank articulated some of these things before, some of the things that we might be able to get. So is there something, though, on the downside that voters should be thinking about?
I don't have anything specific that I would say other than, you know, there are special interest groups out there that may want to redesign how we do business in Albany, and we don't know what those things are. And you know, if those changes had occurred by the other process that's in place, which would be to for a proposal to be passed under two separate legislative sessions, and we can change an amendment that way. Mm-hmm. That way, individuals know exactly what those changes are going to be.
More time to consider that and that kind of thing.
That's right. And in this case, if there are, you know, major changes to how the government of New York conducts its business, we don't know what those changes are going to be. I mean, that's a general answer, I mm-hmm. understand, but I think that's a concern that I have.
Well, it's different ways to weigh political risk. I'm getting that sense. If the two of you were gamblers on a riverboat, you'd have different approaches toward the poker game, I think. But Hank, so what are you hoping to see about changes in the political process? And are there any significant worries that we might want to have?
Well, first of all, I'd say we have to look at what our legislative history has been in the last several years. And certainly, you know, it's a free country. People have different ideas and so forth, and some will come off the wall and whatever. But we don't have a groundswell in New York State, as opposed to some other states. But we just don't have a groundswell in the legislature or in our local governments of demands for very radical change in terms of policies. The policies that we have in many respects in this Constitution need to be protected and will be, just as they have been in past constitutional conventions. But we do need to make changes that open up the process. One of those is in terms of making it easier for people to vote. We have very low participation. That's constrained by provisions of the Constitution. We need greater transparency in our state government. How often after the budget is passed do you see the next morning people asking their members in the Senate and in the Assembly, can you explain to me what it was that you did in this or that particular provision? And they have to say, well, I don't know. And the reason is they never had a chance to see the bill. We have a good constitutional provision that says that it ought to be on the members' desks for 3 days. But there's an escape clause for emergencies. That's abused now. The legislature constantly, and the governor too, issue messages of necessity so that the three men in the room come to an agreement, pass it the next morning. Nobody sees the document.
Or maybe even set a different date for the fiscal year. I don't know if that's something that would be embedded in the Constitution.
But here are things which have real consequences. The public doesn't know. The media don't know. And sad to say, the members don't know. And they've had plenty of time to change it, and they don't.
So, John, I'll give you the last word on this, and I'm thinking I know what you're going to say, but let's hear what you would say in response to that.
I would say that there's already a process in place for those changes to be made and to send public servants that are elected public servants to a convention where we don't know what the changes will be made, and they will be compensated a stipend of $79,500, is going to be very costly to the citizens of New York State. I believe that money could be better spent. And one way, you know, one of those ways could be just to keep that money in the pockets of the citizens of New York.
So you brought that up at the very end, so I'm going to have to let Hank get back in there on this, because that is the argument that also has been used in the past against public financing, is do you really want to take money and give it to Albany in this kind of way? So here's another version of that argument. How much is this going to cost, Hank? Does anybody know?
I think the reasonable estimate is about $70 million.
Okay.
And the reason for that is if you take past constitutional conventions, prorate them up with the CPI and so forth, that's what you come to using the new salary data and so forth. The opponents, unfortunately, have taken a particular article that was published in Albany that was acknowledged by the reporter as having made a major mistake that included an estimate of $300 million. And they use that and then say, well, it could be as much as $300 million. It was a fundamental error on the guy's part, and he apologized for it. But they still use it because it's a good number to use.
Well, let me come in from a maybe even a more radical perspective. Let's take the $300 million figure. Let's just say it's that much. I would think one might say in a budget that is what? You know, well north of $100 billion every year. You're talking about really rounding error in terms of the ability to change the entire document.
Well, right? I'll give you the comparison with the legislature's cost. It's over $220 million per year for 1 year. This is a fraction of that, okay? And we can make changes which would save money going forward.
Those changes can be made anyway.
Okay.
Without the process.
I think we have reached equilibrium on those views. Thanks again to the two of you, Hank DeLay, John Mannion, for taking the time to argue about something which is very important and not getting the attention that it deserves.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, Hank.